Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're staying with us. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's our good friend. He's vice president for policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's been a member of our brain trust for a long time, and like maybe 8 or 9 years. And he's one of the guys we go to when we want to know what's going on out there in the area of regulations, especially regulations. As you know, regulations get in the way of a lot of small businesses. Sometimes they're necessary. But many times they're not, and Wayne is one of those guys that identifies those things and points out the absurdities of some of them and does his best to stop the bad ones, and he does that on our behalf, and we appreciate that about Wayne Cruz. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You've been working on this this XM Sirius satellite radio merger, right?
Yeah, I have.
Let me stop you. Is there actually a merger on the table, or is this just talk that happened so far?
There have so far been four Senate hearings on a merger. It's officially in the works.
The two companies have actually said we want to merge.
Yes, they do intend to merge, and they had hinted at this for a long time. There have been three hearings on it. The Justice Department would have to approve this, and of course the FCC would have to approve the combination of the two licenses that they have, because initially when the two companies were formed, the FCC had stipulated they would have to remain apart. And, you know, in a nutshell, our take on this is you ought not stop the merger, but we do need to liberalize spectrum policy and liberalize globally the way we allocate orbital slots. So look at
ways... Wait. You're over in the weeds on us a little bit there, Wayne. Tell us what spectral policy...
Jim, I stay in the weeds.
I know you. And Wayne, that's what we love about you, but sometimes you have to come out of the weeds and talk to us regular folk. So tell us what you mean by spectral policy and the global, what'd you call it?
I was referring to orbital slots. Basically,
orbital
what
slots.
The
yeah.
Two companies.
That's
say,
a term you don't hear a lot over at Starbucks.
Yeah, that's true. I had the old, that's right. I had that on my mind, and I need to drink my Starbucks this morning. You got me early too.
And you know that, and we wonder why guys like you don't have groupies, Wayne.
That's right.
Go ahead.
But, look, the companies claim that there's plenty of competition already. They say, well, you know, you've got digital radio out there. You've obviously got AM, FM that everybody has access to.
Right.
You've got music that you can listen to on the cable TV, on the upper tier channels. You have iPods. You know, most car makers now, every time a new car rolls off the assembly line, it's got a jack in the front of it for your iPod. And also, you have the theme music that introduces the Jim Blasingame show every
That's
time.
That's right. And don't forget all the things that are on the internet.
That's right. Exactly, internet radio. And if you think about the future and the direction that internet radio is going, and if you combine that with the innovations that are likely to come in WiMAX, and we already have Wi-Fi, you know, where you can wirelessly operate in your home or your business.
Right. What's WiMAX?
But if you kind of expand on that and say Wi-Fi on steroids, this new services that are being rolled out called WiMAX that blanket a wide area.
A whole city so, would be wireless, for example.
Right. So in the opponent's favor, it is true that yes, spectrum right now is scarce, and when the two companies were awarded their licenses, they were required to stay separate and to not merge. But the problem with that is that we do have a new competitive market now. The companies are both hemorrhaging money. And often in free markets, you know, small businesses have to do this, people have to do this, and large entities have to do it. Sometimes you grow too much and you have to retrench. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened in this industry. The industry has expanded too much. They've paid too much to Oprah and to Howard Stern and to the sports leagues. They're in trouble. It makes sense to retrench for them. And when you have companies of this nature, the only way to retrench is to combine. There is opposition to it, obviously, from National Association of Broadcasters, some of the consumer groups. But
well, the terrestrial mm-hmm. radio argument is, look, we have to run our businesses profitably.
That's right.
Make them, you know, they shouldn't be able to get themselves into a bind from a business model standpoint.
That's right.
And then expect the government to bail them out. That's the argument that they have made.
Yeah,
and when
I
we come back,
that.
we're going to talk about this some more. We got more to come on this merger, the XM Sirius merger, and other antitrust issues with our good friend Wayne Cruz. This is something that's touching basically millions of people across the country. Stay with us. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little bit of Chicago for you there. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Wayne Cruz, the Vice President for Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about this merger between this proposed merger between the two satellite stations, the two satellite radio companies, XM and Sirius. You know, Wayne, one of the problems that a lot of people have had is a lot of people have adopted the satellite radio format, but it bugs them that they can't switch a channel and go from one to the other.
Right, and that's one of the advantages of the merger. That's one of the alleged deficiencies of the merger. There's also the complaint that, well, you know, one's Beta, one's VHS, and you're not going to be able to, you know, to listen to the other.
Metaphorically speaking,
and it is the case that, you know, we've got Sirius in a new a vehicle we got, and you know, there's Hair Nation, there's Heart Attack, there's several hard rock stations, for example, but you don't need probably, no, you know, it's up to the market what it needs, but you probably don't need all the ones that Sirius has and all the ones that XM has, and some consolidation makes sense. Now, what the National Association of Broadcasters and others say is that, well, you know, we compete in our local markets, but XM and Sirius, they're competing nationally, but they can also compete here in our local markets, but we can't compete nationally against them.
Right, right. In other words, well, the local radio station can't blast across the country, but XM or Sirius could go national and develop some local
and blast
some local coverage. Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't, if I were the benevolent dictator, I wouldn't stop them from broadcasting locally, but I will say that if you are a up and coming radio person, and you've already arrived, so you're not an up and coming radio person. But if you're an up and coming, if you think about this, you know, in generational terms, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, are you better off in a world where there are a lot of the local stations and the internet stations, plus a very healthy satellite industry that can reach not just the U.S., but globally? Mm-hmm. You're better off in a world where all of those companies are healthy, because that you've got more options that way for your show to suddenly take fire and then reach a national or even an international audience. There's nothing wrong with the local radio personality becoming successful and then going syndicated nationally and then going syndicated on a new, viable, healthy satellite industry. And remember, they're only, between both these companies, there are only six birds up in the air, six satellites up in the sky. So the way to be thinking of this is not to say, well, you can't have one satellite company that has six satellites. you know, the way to think about it is to, well, what does it take? How do you create a healthy communications industry where other companies or other entrepreneurs, you know, now we have these entrepreneurs who are doing low Earth orbital space flights and things.
Right.
How do we create an environment where it's more likely that the new XMs and Siriuses of the world become formed? It, you know, if you make it hard for companies to exit, which is kind of what we do by preventing them from retrenching like they want to do right now, we're calling it a merger, but it's almost a retrenchment. You know what I mean?
Right.
In a sense. It,
well,
it's almost
in,
like
in some ways,
the wrong way.
In some ways, it's a de facto bankruptcy by both company and that, a reemergence as another form.
That is exactly right.
It's basically a reorganization.
Can I quote you on that?
It's basically
exactly
a reorganization
right.
without bankruptcy.
That's exactly the way to put it. And I think that's what we miss a lot in merger cases. And I think we miss that generally in antitrust policy because it's these big is bad and combination is bad.
What do you think of, so from an antitrust standpoint, CEI doesn't have a problem with this merger?
Oh, no. But, you know, from antitrust theory, you know, from the typical, and, you know, we are obviously laissez-faire, with there being basic rules of contract and property rights and so forth. From an antitrust theory standpoint, though, you've got, you know, former FTC officials and, you know, very prominent people saying, well, this merger cannot possibly go through because it's a merger not from, you know, 4-3 or 3-2, but it's from 2-1. So
that is problematic, isn't it?
It's a slam dunk. They can stop the merger. But
isn't that a good point, Wayne?
Yeah, it's a slam dunk.
But it's not. It's in one sense it's 2-1, but in one sense it's 9-8.
Right.
Because you got all the things that you mentioned earlier that we have other choices.
Exactly. You have all these other choices and pluses. I always look for ways of saying, well, what is it about governmental policy or what is it about public policy that might be preventing competition from emerging otherwise? And I think it's real important that rather than the FCC spend the next few months, you know, wringing hands over a merger like this that is going to be, you know, a pittance 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when we've got lots more satellite capability up in the air. But rather than worrying about this little merger, because in the scheme of things, this is a small thing. They're $13 billion capitalization. One cable company alone is $60 billion in capitalization.
You know, Wayne,
so rather than wringing hands over this, look at ways of liberalizing, you know, the allocation of spectrum. What FCC ought to be doing is not governing things and micromanaging mergers, but making more spectrum available or facilitating
spectrum
that.
Meaning more places for new technologies and new
that's
new,
right.
for the next type of the next variation of the next generation of an XM type of a player.
Exactly.
That might put XM and Sirius both out of business. Who knows?
Exactly.
Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Wayne Cruz. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Vice President for Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, tell us about CEI and give us the website, please.
We are 23 years old now. We're a public policy / advocacy organization. We are libertarian, laissez-faire oriented. We tend to focus on regulatory policy, you know, like the kinds of things we're talking about today, but we do everything from Sarbanes-Oxley accounting reform to nanotechnology and telecommunications and free market environmentalism. The website is CEI.org. CEI.org.
You know, folks, check that out when you get a chance. When are your 10,000 commandments going to be out?
You know, I was going to mention that to you. It's just about ready to come out. The big number is that regulations on business compliance costs for regulations are now over $1 trillion.
Unbelievable.
a year. It's just,
over $7,000 per employee, per small business, per small
yeah,
business
I think
employee.
That's right. And I think it was only in the 70s that the federal budget itself first hit $1 trillion. This is the biggest government that's ever existed.
When I started doing this, Wayne, you guys are going to have to start working a little harder up there at CEI, Wayne, because when I started doing this show, it was $6,000 per employee per year compliance, right. The cost for small businesses to comply with regulation. Now it's over $7,000. You guys are going to have to get on the ball up there.
Yeah, or the small businessmen are going to have to take up arms and do things right too. Because I had an uncle who ran a carpet store. He ran a carpet store in South Boston, Virginia, called Haley's House of Carpets. And when he found out that the EPA was going after chemicals in carpets that was killing rats, you know, in rat tests, he said, "Huh. If my carpets will kill rats, I'm going to start charging more."
He's going to say, and advertising then.
You just got to advertise it right.
That's exactly right. You got to put the right spin on it, right? Back to the XM Sirius merger. You know, one thing I could see some people saying is, okay, the reason these guys are merging is because their business models were failing. They've, as you alluded to, and it's common knowledge,
right.
Public knowledge, they paid a lot of money to certain groups, to certain people, and it's not hasn't paid off for them, and so now they're merging to fix that. Well, you know, as I said, if this is a de facto reorganization, you know, before somebody can reorganize in bankruptcy, the judge and the creditors have to approve it.
That's right.
They have to make sure that the new plan is viable. So is that what's happening? Is that happening at all in the antitrust courts, in the antitrust a court of opinion or whatever? Is that happening? Are they saying, you know what, even if you merge, can you make it?
It's not so much that even if they merge, can they make it. I mean, the defenders of the merger, the CEO of XM, for example, is kind of walking a fine line. I mean, he can't say we're merging just because we're failing. You know, so you can look at the stock analyst report and you see different takes on this. Some of them say that they'll be just fine if they don't merge. And then what you have some of the politicians come back and say is, well, if you're going to be fine if you don't merge, we ought not have you merge because it's better to have two rather than one.
Right.
But this goes back to, it ought not be up to policymakers. It ought to be up to markets to flesh this out. Because remember, even if they merge, that's not the end of the game. What a merger does is it raises the competitive environment to a new level. It gives a target for everybody who might think the merger is a bad idea, all of the competitive factors. Mergers that don't work out are responded to by Wall Street, by competitors,
right.
by investors, advertisers who flee and take up residence, you know, with what they regard as a better,
right.
as a better competitor. But here, it is true that they did spend a lot on big name talent and things like that. But when you have, but Jim, they're putting global information into the exosphere. I mean,
yeah. Well, let me ask you, Wayne, before we
business, you've got huge capital costs, and one of the fixed costs in this case happens to be talent. I mean, they couldn't get anybody to come to their stations and pay a subscription fee without doing that.
Let me ask you a question. This is what everybody wants to know, who has XM or Sirius players. When they merge, will my machine work?
They say that they will. I'm not positive about that. I just don't know.
See, that would be a big argument from a consumer standpoint.
Well,
if I've got XM and you merge, I don't want to have to buy a new machine.
Buy another one. But remember, there are handheld devices and all sorts of things that are coming on tap too. You might end up better off because they might replace your current unit with one that you can yank out and
maybe
walk into your house with.
It's a sticky wicket. Wayne, thanks for giving us that report. We'll see you next time.
Really enjoyed being with you. Thank you, Jim.
Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.